Going to begin Pachad Yitzchak Maimer Dalid for Shabbos, and this Maimer begins with a Memra in the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan in the name of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai in Beitza Daf Tesayin Omen Aleph. Omer Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Kol Mitzvos Sheniten Lahem Shenosan Lahem Hakadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael Nosan Lahem Befarhesia Chutz Mishabbos. And the obvious question is, at face value, straightforward, what does this mean? The Shabbos was given bitzina? Shabbos was given befarhesia to all of Klal Yisrael, whether it be at Maimon Har Sinai in the Aseres HaDibros, possibly even before that at Mora. Umasik Shom b'Gemara, the Gemara finally concludes, Dekoi Amatn Schara Shal Shabbos, that one possibility is the statement of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai refers to the Schar. The Schar for Shabbos is given Bitzina. Oh, another possibility, Dekoy al Neshama Yisera, that the element of Neshama Yisera is not obvious to the naked eye, it's Bitzina. Tivo Shal Tzina, Dematan Shabbos, Lonis Parish Lonu. At the end of the day, we really don't understand how this element of tzina expresses and relates to Shabbos. And in truth, we don't find any difference between the mitzvah of Shabbos as far as its revealed dimension and other mitzvahs. Do we find any shinui in the way that Shabbos is revealed? Shabbos is befaresia, it's begolui, like all other mitzvahs. And we're going to try to get a grasp on this relationship between the gift of Shabbos, the essence of Shabbos, and tzina. Now, in order to introduce this sugya, let's spend a bit of time on understanding a very fundamental halach in Shabbos that makes Shabbos unique. And this is based on a sugya in Chulin on Daf Hey Amud Aleph, with regard to the din of Mumar L'Kol HaTorah Kula. There are two violations, two mitzvos, that when violated, the avarion is categorized under a new klal, a new status, and that's called a mumar. He's excluded from the Jewish community. We don't rely on him. He's not part of a minyan. These are the very harsh, severe laws of mumar. And these laws are applicable in two cases, in two violations. Number one, Avodah Zorah. And number two, the violation of Shabbos. The Gemara has, in fact, a special derivation, a Yalfusa, as far as Avodah Zorah is concerned. And the idol worshiper who's guilty and has been condemned and abased by virtue of evidence, he becomes a mumar l'kol ha-Torah kula. But what is the source for the halacha of mumris with regard to the violation of Shabbos? The Gemara doesn't mention any source for this, any explanation for the din of mumar l'kol ha-Torah kula in the case of the violation of Shabbos. Rashi there in Masechta Chulin writes, Mipnei shamachalel Shabbos nirek ha-kofer b'maisa bracious, that the violation of Shabbos entails or implies inherent in it a denial of maisa bracious, of Hashem's creative power. And someone who is a heretic, as far as maisa bracious is concerned, he denies maisa bracious, his status is equivalent to that of an idol worshiper, and he's a mumar l'kol ha-Torah kula. Now, if we look at the mitzvah and its meaning, and we say that one who violates that mitzvah has undermined that meaning and contradicted the underlying principle or article of faith in that particular mitzvah, by violating that mitzvah, he's denied that faith. Let's apply that kind of a standard, Rashi's standard, to the case of Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach is connected to, and this is explicit in the Torah, Yitzias Mitzrayim. Korban Pesach is, to some extent, a duplication of the experience of Yitzias Mitzrayim, and there's no doubt that what underlies the mitzvah of Korban Pesach is a statement, almost a testimony about Yitzias Mitzrayim. Now, if someone is mevatel, if he refuses, and let's say deliberately, to bring a Korban Pesach, shall we say that he is in denial of Yitzias Mitzrayim? And that too is such a fundamental principle of our faith and of our history, because through Yitzias Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed His power, His might, His hashkocha, and His special relationship to a new nation that emerges. If one denies that, he should be a mumar. Now, in Pachin Yitzchok, he doesn't have any footnote here to explain the underlying premise of his question. One could clearly differentiate between Maisa Bracious, which touches on the entire question of the universe and God and His ability to not only create the universe, but therefore, as the author of nature, He could change nature. There's so much inherent in Maisa Bracious. And therefore, if one violates the Shabbos, is kofer Maisa Bracious, kfir b'Maisa Bracious, engenders mumrus, that's nicha, that's something we can understand. But I'm not sure that kfira b'Yitzias Mitzrayim is itself a kfir in one of those fundamentals of the Torah that would engender mumris. That has to be clarified. In any event, the Tshuvas HaGaonim offers a different explanation here in the context of the sugya in Chulin of Mumra L'Shabbos Havi Mumra L'Kol HaTorah Kula. And according to the Tshuvas HaGaonim, Shabbos is called an os. And a Mechal Shabbos who desecrates the Shabbos is judged as someone who rejects the os. And that act of vitiating the os of Shabbos is tantamount to an act of mumris. Os is something that's so fundamental that the violation of an os, the desecration of an os, the bittul of an os, engenders mumris. He calls it here mumris klolis, meaning it goes way beyond that particular os and touches on the general status of os. Says the Pachin Yitzchok, this too is a difficult approach because we have other mitzvahs that are osos, and we don't find mumris. For example, tefillin is called an os. That's in fact why we don't wear tefillin on Shabbos, because since Shabbos is an os and tefillin is an os, the os of Shabbos trumps the os of tefillin. Mila is considered an os. And you'll find this all in the Pesukim in the Torah itself. Tefillin is considered an os in Shmos Yud Gimel. Mila is called an os in Bracious Yud Zayin. We don't find, however, that someone who's mevatel tefillin, or mevatel mila for that matter, is classified as a mumar. Obviously, the Tshuvas HaGaonim are implying that the os of Shabbos is unique, and the Chil Shabbos as a chilul, as a bittul of the os, is unique, singled out for mumris, in contradistinction to the os of tefillin, for example, the os of mila, where violating these mitzvos is not a violation of an os to the extent that it would engender mumris. And the question is why? What is it about the os of Shabbos, what is it about the chilul Shabbos, that act engenders mumris? And in Os Gimel, here in the Maimar, he presents the following thesis. What's unique about the Os of Shabbos, and we don't find it in the Os of Tefillin or the Os of Mila? He says the following, that when we call or classify a mitzvah as an Os, what we mean is that it, in some way, is connected to and perhaps reveals or demonstrates, if you will, the bris, the special covenantal relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael. That relationship is reflected as a bris relationship in the os itself. Tefillin, mila, are considered an os, meaning that what's inherent in tefillin, inherent in mila, is the declaration and the demonstration of the fact that we have an os relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, in the case of Shabbos, when we say that the act of shvisa, of abstaining, refraining from any of the categories of labor, is an os, what we're really saying is that the act of shvisa, again, I'm calling shvisa an act, but the, let's say, the reality or the mitzias of shvisa, in and of itself is an os. In and of itself is a testimony to Maisa Bracious. Shvisa Shabbos is an os because shvisa, in a sense, puts man in the situation in which man is duplicating what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, as the Pasuk says, Shavas Vayinofash, that's at the end of Sefer Shmos, in Shmos Laman Aleph, in the parish of Shabbos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Shoves, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Shavas Vayinofash. We are duplicating. It, in a sense, our Shvisa is an implementation, a mirror image, corresponding to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shvisa. The oath of Shabbos, therefore, is inherent in the very nature of Shvisa Shabbos. Shvisa Shabbos is itself a dugma, as he calls it. It is an abstract duplication of the Shvisa of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisbarach Shmo. And therefore, Shvisa Shabbos is an act of testimony in its very essence. When we abstain from melacha, what we're doing is we're acting out the testimony. It's not a verbal testimony in front of a court, but it's a testimony through our body, through our language, our actions, or in this case, the omission of our actions, in which we are testifying on the episode that took place up in Lamaila, the Shvisa of Shamayim, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and of all the peoples on the face of the earth, all the nations, we are singled out and chosen to testify this testimony. And the oath itself of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shvisa and our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, insofar as we are singled out to be able to demonstrate that oath through our Shvisa Shabbos, that itself is the Torah's os that's inherent in the act of Shvisa Shabbos. Shvisa Shabbos itself is Edus, and that is what Shabbos is all about. He mentions here in a footnote that when we say Vayechulu and we stand and we say it, we recite out Vayechulu together with another person, that is Edus. As the Chachmei HaKabbalah call it, Shabbos Sahadusa Ikri. Shabbos is called Sahadusa, it's called Edus. Now, you should know that this halacha that we stand for Vayechulu and we recite it together with someone else as reflecting the laws of Edus, of testimony, is actually codified in halacha. It's not just a minig that arose in the last, I don't know when. The Torah, if you take a look in Or HaChaim, Simon Reish Samaches, codifies this idea. And it's brought down la'alocha. It means that Shabbos is Sadusa, is connected to Edus. That's a special dimension of Os, of Shvisa Shabbos. When we talk about the Os of Shvisa Shabbos, it's built on an approach of Edus, of testimony that's involved in the experience and the observance of Shabbos. Tefillin on the head of a person, Mila in a person's body, become an os on the bris of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with us. However, there's no element beblishi yehebaim birur ma'or yadua. It's not that the wearing of tefillin or the mila itself is a clarification or an outward reflection of some historical event or episode that took place at the time of the bris. We're not experiencing or duplicating the bris. That's not the case, neither in tefillin nor in mila. Whereas in Shabbos, the oath of Shabbos is the shvisa itself. The shvisa itself is an outward revelation or clarification, so to speak, is a birur of that episode, of that ma'ora that took place before the bris between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael, and we are now, in a sense, clarifying and you know, it's almost like we're bringing in a videotape of showing the reality of creation. And this Eidus, as we said before, is given to Klal Yisrael, and therefore it's an oath on the bris between HaKnesset Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's inherent in the act itself. So whereas there are other mitzvahs that are related to bris, but there's only one mitzvah that really experiences the bris. We are implementing our special status as a ben bris through the Shabbos. The Shabbos itself is an outward reflection of a maisa of a ben bris. We and only we with Shabbos, which feast Shabbos, have the power of testimony. That status of being made. On the contrary, if a non-Jew tries to duplicate a Shvisa Shabbos, he's Chayv Misa, and then that's not acceptable at all. So since Shvisa Shabbos is itself an act of what we call in Halacha Agadas Eidus of testimony about the truth of God's creation, then Chil Shabbos, the desecration of Shabbos, is also a testimony, but it's a false testimony, which we perjure ourselves by claiming that God did not, Chas v'Shalom, create the world. And that's what Rashi says, that Mechal Shabbos is a kofer b'maisa bracious. And we were wondering why a person who's Mevatel Korban Pesach is not considered a kofer b'yitzias Mitzrayim. But the answer is that as far as Eidus, that's where Shabbos is singled out as Chil Shabbos equals Kfirah B'maisa Breishis, because since Shabbos is a Torah's Eidus, the Mechal Shabbos is being made Sheker. He's saying the exact opposite. He's contradicting Maisa Breishis. He's the Kofer B'maisa Breishis. By violating the Shabbos, he's being Kofer B'maisa Breishis. That's not something inherent in being Mevatel the Korban Pesach. You can't say he's being Kofer B'Yetzias Mitzrayim. And I just wanted to point out to you that in this context, we're reminded by sheer association of a chiddush of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, Zichron Levrach. The Rav used to say, in the name of his father, that the famous question, why is it that with regard to the mitzvah of tefillin, the Gemara establishes in Kiddushin that women are exempt because it's a mitzvah say, Shazman Groma. Fine. We find, though, with regard to mitzvah seishasman grum, that women are obligated if afhein hayu bosan nes, the principle of which is that when the mitzvah is inherently related to a nes, a miracle, and the women experience the miracle no less than the men, they too are included in that mitzvah. And we have it by the mitzvah of magid, of higadat lebincha, sipritis, we have it by the mitzvah of dalid kosos, possibly other dimensions of Leil Pesach. We have Afein Hoyubosanes with regard to Megillah reading and Chanukah. These are all mitzvah seishas man grom, and yet we obligate the women insofar as they were part of the Ness. And the mitzvah tefillin is related to, as the Torah says explicitly, Yitzias Mitzrayim. And since women were part of Yitzias Mitzrayim no less than the men, Afein Hoyu, they should be obligated in tefillin b'toras Ness, as it relates to Yitzias Mitzrayim. And Rav Moshe was famous for saying that although the background and the yesod perhaps of tefillin is Yitzias Mitzrayim, however, the maisa mitzvah itself of wearing tefillin is not a re-experience, in no way duplicates the ness of Yitzias Mitzrayim. You see someone wearing tefillin, you don't see in any shape or form an indication, a hint of Yitzias Mitzrayim. In the other mitzvahs, we're actually duplicating Yitzias Mitzrayim. The afein hayu bosa ness is to duplicate the ness itself, or in the case of Chanukah, to light the Chanukah menorah. The case of the Megillah, to recite the Megillah and tell the story of the Ness of Purim. This is all something where the element of Zecher L'Ness is inherent in the very act of the mitzvah. Whereas tefillin is just related to the Ness and Yitzias Mitzrayim, but it's not inherent in the act of wearing tefillin. And in that sense, Shabbos, if we come back to the Pachad Yitzchak now, is very unique, because Shabbos is not an oath in the classical sense. It's an oath in a very unique way, because it is an act of Eidus, which is a power that was given singularly to Klal Yisrael, insofar as we are the chosen people, and the bris relationship allows us, through our Shvisa Shabbos, to testify about the creation of the world. And if Chas V'Shalom one desecrates the Shabbos, he testifies against the testimony. His act of Chol Shabbos is an Eidus Sheker. That's what engenders Mumris. And now we move on to Os Dalet. And Os Dalet begins with a quote from a very famous sugya, a very fundamental sugya, Masechta Megillah Daf Chav Gimel Amud Beis, with regard to Davar Shebekedusha. The Gemara establishes there that an Eda, which is a community of Israel, is made up by ten Jews, Asar Yisrael, Nikraim, Eda. And the Pachad Yitzchok says the following. What does this mean? And this is going to touch on the concept of Farhesia that we spoke about before, which is so central to Shabbos. He says, "Haino mishum demitziusa shel Knesset Yisrael, the essence and the reality of Knesset Yisrael as an existing entity, edus he al briso yisbarach itano, the very fact that we exist as an Eda, we are there. That itself is testimony that we were the chosen nation. The fact that we exist and we didn't perish and leave the scene of human history as all the other nations did, that itself testifies on the bris of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, whenever there's a gathering of a tzibur of Klal Yisrael, which is a microcosm of all of Klal Yisrael, if you have 10 Jews, then that itself is an Eda. Eda milashon edus. It's a testimony. And Chazal tell us that not only is Asar Yisrael considered an edus, but the metzius of Klal Yisrael is an edus on Brisa Yisbarach Itanu. And this is based on a parash in Tanakh in Yeshayo, Perek Mem Gimel, which is embellished by the Alkut Shimoni. Tosus in Shabbos Nun Hei touches upon this. The very existence of Klal Yisrael is a testimony on the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose us, singled us out, and we entered into a covenantal relationship with Him. And that's the word Eda. And Chazal tell us that Kol Bei Asara Shechinta Sharia, that the Shekhinah is there whenever there's 10, because the appearance, the existence of a minion of a tzibur of Klal Yisrael itself is Edus. That itself is a duplication of the Bris. And in that sense, the Shekhinah is taking part in this Bris. A Bris is made up of two people, two nations that enter into this commitment, this relationship. HaKadosh Baruch has to be there, the Shekhinah, when that relationship is and bris is being entered into. And therefore the Pachad Yitzchok says, Yesh bo chelek misuyim shel edus haklolis the Knesset Yisrael al briso yisbarach itanu. The Shekhinah comes down, there's Asar Yisrael, and that itself is a participation in a type or a form of testimony to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu entered into this bris. Now we can come back to Chil Shabbos. Supposing a person, Chas V'Shalom, desecrates the Shabbos publicly, which means in front of Asar Yisrael. What he's doing is, he is undermining, he's vitiating, he's being makhish, the edus of the Eda itself. As we said before, the Eda, when it exists, Asar Yisrael, Shekhinah is there, we enter into a bris, it's edus of the bris of Klal Yisrael as the chosen nation. Chil Shabbos, if it's Betzinah, okay, that's edus sheker on Maisa Brachos, but it's lacking one important element, which is added, if you will, again in quotation marks, because we're talking about a negative here, in Farhesia, with the Chil Shabbos of Farhesia, that really changes and impacts on the entire nature of the Eidus Sheker that we spoke about, which is Chil Shabbos. Chil Shabbos, we have an equation here that Chil Shabbos equals Hagodas Eidus Sheker, denying as it were Maisa Brachos. When the Chil Shabbos Mefarhesia, that Hagodas Eidus B'Sheker is impacted in a very profound way. It's not just Sheker, as it would be in Sina, but it's Sheker in the presence of Emes. Right there, the bris is taking place, so to speak. There is a re-experience of the bris when there's Asar Yisrael, and at that point, in the presence of Asar Yisrael, the act of Chil Shabbos, in front of the Tzibur of Kal Yisrael, is a declaration that says that Edus Emes Abokas V'Olam Min HaEdazu Shekerhu, that the very Edus that really emerges from the existence and the presence of Asar Yisrael of the Eda, the Edus that's inherent in the Eda and its existence of the Eda, is itself Sheker. Because what is the Edus of the Eda? The content, the substance of the Edus of the Eda is we are the chosen people. And desecration of the Shabbos says, well, what do you mean we're the chosen people? We deny this Edus. We were given the special status of the chosen people so that, and reflects it in the fact that our Shvisa Shabbos is testimony. Well, we're going to testify that there is no Maisa Bracious. And in doing so, in front of Ten Mi Yisrael, we are undermining that very bris, that Edus Emes of the Edom Yisrael. This is what makes the mumris of the Machal Shabbos. Now, I just want to make a comment here before we go on, that at this point in the Pachad Yitzchak, the connection between Chol Shabbos and Farhesia seems to be like A plus B. What I mean to say is that there are two realities or two entities that overlap, that crisscross at a certain point when you get Chil Shabbos plus Farhesia. On the one hand, the Chil Shabbos is a hakhosha of the Edus Emes of Maisa Bracious. It is, in effect, Chil Shabbos equals Hagodas Sheker, as we discussed earlier. On the other hand, there's Edus of the Eda, when there's Asar Misrob Farhesia, that we are the bris nation of Klal Yisrael, chosen for that covenant. We exist means there's a bris. Now we're combining A plus B. We're combining the Haggadah Sheker, the Edus Sheker of Chil Shabbos, together with the bris relationship that becomes, in a sense, a declaration that's declared as an Edus when we have Asar Yisrael, when we have Farhesia the Tzibur. And the question I want to raise is how does the denial of the Edus Emes of Eda of Tzibur of Bris, how does that integrate with and form one entity together with the Chil Shabbos, the Haggadah Edus Sheker on Maisa Bracious, denying the kfir of Maisa Bracious? It seems at the face of it, at least superficially, to be a coincidental connection, overlap of two different elements. But I think that the answer is there's one underlying unifying factor here that absolutely equates the two, and that is the concept of bris. In two cases, we act out the bris, so to speak. We do something which is a testimony. It's a testimony of the bris. And when we double our sheker here by denying and vitiating that testimony of the bris, it's a very, very severe kind of situation. We have now an Edus Sheker to undermine the Edus of Eda, and we have an Edus Sheker to undermine the Edus of Shvisa Shabbos. And in both cases, what's common to both cases is the bris. The bris means which the special singular relationship and status of Klal Yisrael, that they, Klal Yisrael, are singled out for Edus on the bris. The Edus itself, that we have the power to be made, that no other nation has that power of Edus, that itself is a declaration or a demonstration of the bris that's entered into between Knesset Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No other nation could testify that kind of Edus. We and only we have the exclusive power of testimony. And that testimony is a testimony about the bris, whether it's the Shvisa Shabbos that by duplicating Shvisa Shabbos and testifying about the creation of God, that itself is an indication, a statement of bris. What underlies our ability to testify about Maisa Bracious is our bris relation with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, and the very existence of a tzibur is itself a testimony about the bris relationship. Now imagine that we combine the two and we vitiate that edus and convert it, transform it to an edus sheker, to perjury, on two levels, both of which single out the relationship of Klal Yisrael as the ben bris of HaKadosh, the bas bris of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are the raya to the dod. And that doubling over of a double edus sheker that denies the bris, that engenders mumris. That's the way I understand it until this point. Now at this point, again finishing up with Oz Dalid, the Pagan Yitzchak quotes the Gaonim that we mentioned before. And the Gaonim point out that Chil Shabbos engenders mumris because Shabbos is called an os. And we were asking the question, but Tefillin and Mila are also called an os. And the answer is, as we said before, the os of Shabbos is unique in the fact that it is played out, so to speak. It is acted out on the stage as edus. That's the nature of the action, the inherent nature of and the kiyum of Shvisa Shabbos. It itself is an act of edus, and that's unique to Shabbos. Doesn't apply to any other mitzvah, despite the relationship between the mitzvah and an os. Now, if he's mevatel the os of Shabbos, which means he, as we said before, instead of doing the act that inherently is edus emes, he does an act that's edus sheker. And by being mevatel the os of Shabbos, he and when he's mevatel the os of Shabbos, he does so publicly in front of an edim Yisrael, and the edus of the existence of a tzibur of Klal Yisrael is edus, is testimony on the bris, and now he's denying the bris. Then we have here what we call edus shnei edios hamachisho zu et zu, and that hakasha of one edus to the other, that contradiction, that head-on collision, in which one edus is an affirmation, the other is in denial, that is a hakasha which engenders mumris l'kol haTorah kula. And now in Os Hei, the Pachad Yitzchak refers us to a halacha which is codified in Yeridea that we discussed in the past regarding mumris, but the language of the Yeridea, of the Shulchan Aruch in Yeridea, is quite important here, especially the comment of Rabbi Kveger on the Shulchan Aruch here in Yeridea. Before we go on, I just forgot to mention to you that the concept of Bei Asar Shechinta Sharia, that when you have a group of 10 Jews, the Shechina is there, as we said before, to enter into a bris, that is based on a Gemara in Sanhedrin Lamed Tes. But now getting back to Yeridea Siman Beis at the very beginning, Hilchos Shechita, the Shulchan Aruch writes that Mumer l'Avodah Zarah, Mumer l'Chal Shabbos v'Hesya, Oshu Mumer l'Chal HaTorah Kula Chutz Mishtayim Elu Harei Zeh Kegoy. So we have three categories of Psul Shechita of Mumer. We have one, a Mumer l'Avodah Zarah, number two, a Mumer l'Chal Shabbos v'Hesya, number three, a Mumer to the other 611 mitzvahs of the Torah. Meaning all of the 611. What's unique about these two is that Avodah Zarah itself engenders mumris. Chil Shabbos Farhesi itself engenders mumris. And now let's take a look at Rabbi Kiveiger's Haggah here on the side, on the language of the Shulchan Aruch, Chutz Mishtayim Elu. He writes the following. Zu, meaning this statement, where is its source, is Midivrei Rabbeinu Yerucham. It's based on one of the great Rishonim, Rabbeinu Yerucham. Ubipshuto ha'ochachadim lokein elamur l'chal Torah kula hainu v'dafka al kol haTorah ha'balav hachi avimumar mishum avodas kachom ha'shabes. Rav Kiveiger says that the logical proof to establish the conclusion of Rabbeinu Yerucham is the fact that if we would assume that Mumer l'Chol HaTorah Kula includes all of the Torah, including those two, of Shabbos and Avodah Zarah, then why do we need this new halach of Mumar L'chol HaTar Kula? Even without that halach, he's a Mumar because of his violation of Avodah Kol Chavim or Shabbos. Says Rav Kiveger al Karcha de Mumar L'chol HaTar Kula Hainu Chutz Mishtayim Eil. It means he violates all of the 611, but not these two. Again, if he's violating these two, he's a Mumar Memela. What engenders this new category, this third category of Mumaris? It must be that although he doesn't violate Avodah Zarah and Shabbos, he violates the other 611. And then we come kashali, Dilma Mumar L'chol HaTar Kula Hainu Afal Shabbos Chutz Me'Avodah Kol Chavim. Says Rabbi Kivega, I don't understand. Maybe Mumar L'chol HaTar Kula means he violates 612 out of the 613, meaning he violates the Shabbos as well. He just doesn't violate Avodah Kol Chavim. Now, you'll ask me, but once again, the logic, if he violates Shabbos, he is in ipso facto a Mumar. The answer is, El Delo Havi Befarhesia. Why not violate the Shabbos as an Avera? Not under the special category of engendering Mumaris, but just as an Avera Mikol Averos. To be Shum Shabbos L'chud Lo Avi Mumar, the violation of Shabbos in and of itself does not engender Mumaris, Kevin Deina Befarhesia. And this is Rabbi Kivega's kasha. How does Rabbi Yerucham know that the Mumar L'chol HaTar Kula is someone who did not violate Shabbos? Maybe in fact he violated the Shabbos, just he did it by Tzina as opposed to Farhesia. Says the Pachad Yitzchak that based on what we've said before, that the concept of Farhesia with regard to Shabbos is an act of Eidus Sheker, because once there's Asar Yisrael, there's an Eidus on Bris, he says the following, Harei hatam anal shekosu v'kivei ge'enei lo hochocha l'alochu, so adayin lo nisparish lanu nimuk shel chutz zeh. D'lama dafka kan kol ha-Torah havi chutz mishtayim elu. Even if I accept Rabbi Kivega's logic, but I still am left with a conceptual problem as to why we exclude these two. What does it mean that Kol HaTorah, the violation of Kol HaTorah, means 611 with the omission of these two? And what is the chutz? And the answer is, and let's just read the words of the Pachad Yitzchak, it's very conceptual, he says, Perush shel chutz zeh kachu. Tor haklolis utor haprotis hem shnei torim hasosrim zed zed. When you use the word, the description of general, and you use the description of specific, those are mutually exclusive. Diliolami efshalol l'shum mitziyah shetei klolis uprotis bi osa habchina atzmi. You can't say that a particular dimension is both general and specific at the same time, if it's referring to the same dimension. Al kain liachash pasakdu de mumar l'avodah zarah ze mumar l'chol HaTar Kula yotzi mizeh shebchinas hilchos mumar l'avodah zarah hi klolius shel Torah. The reason why violating idol worship is engenders mumaris is because idol worship represents the entire klal, the entire corpus of the Torah, and therefore, When we speak about Avodah Zarah, is we are saying that Avodah Zarah mufkas milios nichlelas b'chol HaTorah Kula. You can't say that Avodah Zarah is included in Kol HaTorah Kula, that lo imtei nichlelas tishtan alios aver pratis. Kol HaTorah Kula means X number of, you know, delineated, enumerated averos, each of which is separate and a detail, a prat, a case unto itself, and it's included in a general rule. In other words, the mathematical addition or a conglomeration of all these different pratim makes up Kol HaTorah Kula. But that would mean that if Avodah Zarah is included in Kol HaTorah Kula, it, like all the others, is a prat, but we just established that violating Avodah Zarah engenders Mumaris because it's a klal. So you can't call it part of Kol HaTorah Kula and at the same time say that violating Avodah Zarah is engenders mumris, because if it's part of Kol Tarkula, it's a prat that has to be calculated within the 612, we'll call it that number. But by saying that in violating Avodah Zarah engenders mumris, you must be calling it a klal rather than a prat. So that's what the word chutz means. Chutz mi Avodah Zarah. The klala doraisa kula makifu es in yona shel Torah hamukafim al yodo biyosam chelke hekef. Okay, that's a very, very obscure statement. But be that as it may, I think the bottom line is that when we talk about something that's kolel, all of everything, we're talking about putting it in a certain hekef. Hekef means a scope. It has the scope of kol Torah kula. And therefore, when we get to mumris and Avodah Zarah engenders mumris, it must be that Avodah Zarah is a klola doraisa. It sort of encompasses, in a very comprehensive way, the entire Torah. Then you cannot then take the Isra Avodah Zarah out of that hekef of kol Torah kula and place it together with the rest of the Torah as one of the various individual pratim. Therefore, it comes out that al yidei atzmo sha'anu omer shavodah zarah klolias haTorah is einanu omer shaklolias haTorah nimakifas iser avodah zarah. When we talk about the klolias, meaning the sach hakol of all the different averus, it cannot include in it the iser avodah zarah, because the iser avodah zarah itself is the klolias haTorah, not as one of the many, many different mitzvos of the Torah that make up the klal, but it itself is the klal. And now let's apply that to Shabbos. If a mumer l'Shabbos is indeed a mumer l'kol Torah kula, then what that means is that Shabbos is a klal doraisa. In other words, inherently it represents the entire klal. That's the nature of Shabbos. And if that be the case, then it cannot be included in kol Torah kula. That's what Kivega's kasha was. Maybe a mumer l'kol Torah kula includes a violation of the Shabbos. But that's not so, because Shabbos itself is the klala d'oraisa, and therefore you'd have to say chutz, applying the same logic that we applied to Avodah Zarah. He says the following: Hare nisparish lanu hetev biosa kod, as we explained in Dalid, that Shabbos in and of itself is the klala d'oraisa, because Shabbos is an act of testimony, and this Torah's Edus, which is inherent in the cessation of work on Shabbos, the Shvisa Shabbos, that's what takes Shabbos out of the Prat and puts it into a Klal. It's the nature of Shabbos as Edus, which removes Shabbos from those those details of a specific mitzvahs, and gives it the status of Klolius Doraisa. Now, as far as Mumris is concerned, we're saying that the Eidus Sheker of Chol Shabbos is not enough to engender Mumris. We need another element, and you have to be Machish, the Eidus Emes of Tzibur, and therefore you need that the Chol Shabbos has to be Bifar Hesia. So the condition of Chol Shabbos being engendering Mumris is the concept of Far Hesia. That's the concept of Mumer l'Shabbos, because we have to add, as we discussed before, the element of Eidus Sheker of Eida, meaning that bris element of Asar Yisrael. But the Farhesia doesn't add anything to the status of Shabbos in and of itself. Shabbos in and of itself is Klolius HaTorah, even without Farhesia. And that's what he writes. If you were to argue from the other perspective and reject what we're saying and insist that Shabbos without Farhesia is not considered a Klolius Doraisa, then Farhesia would not make the Chil Shabbos into a Mumris situation. In other words, if Shabbos itself is not a unique Haggadah's Eidus, then Hare Shinui Hapu'ula Me'Haggadah's Shekel HaKadosh Eidus Emes Einu Nogeh Klal HaTorah HaKloli Shebetofar Do the Olam Ein HaSchum Shel Guf HaNidon Da'odah's Eidus Misrabe Al Yidei Kach Sha'Eidim Nasim Li'Eidus Mukheshes. What we said is that if the Farhesia element is added into the equation of Chil Shabbos, then we get what we arrive at is Eidus Machisho Zuitzu, because in the Farhesia you have one Eidus, and now in the Chil Shabbos, one Eidus meaning that there's a bris, and in the Chil Shabbos inherently there's an Eidus that there is no bris. That adds an element of Hakasha, but obviously, even without Hakasha, each Eidus stands on its own independently. That Shabbos per se, inherently, even Bitzina, is an act of Eidus when it's moved into the public eye, into the light of a tzibur. Then it becomes Eidus Hamakheshes Zezeh. But the Farhesia is not something that's engendering the Eidus element, which makes Shabbos into a Klola Doraisa. Klola Doraisa and Shabbos is a reflection and a result of Shabbos and its unique status as Haggadah's Eidus. And once Shabbos as Haggadah's Eidus upgrades Shabbos to the status of Klolius Doraisa, then therefore the Chutz that we mentioned before automatically goes back into play, and it's activated. Hachutz hanal eino ela mitzad Torah haklolius de Shabbos. Meaning, you have to, in the case of Mumra l'kol haTorah kula, as Rabbi Kivega pointed out, you have to leave out the Shabbos. And why do you leave out the Shabbos? Because if you include it in kol haTorah kula, it becomes a prat. Whereas if the halacha sees Chil Shabbos as engendering mumers, it must be because Chil Shabbos it represents the entire Torah. It's a klal for the Torah. The afal pishonu mechalkim bechil Shabbos bechil betzinu bechil Shabbos ein ze el benogel mumer de Shabbos av vaday ein makom lechalik bechil betzinu bechil for bedin mumer lechal tarkula. So the element of mumer lechal tarkula in Shabbos is because Shabbos itself is a klal d'oraisa. It's the klal of the Torah. That's what makes him a mumer l'chol Torah kula. If you take the Shabbos and put it back into mumer l'chol Torah kula, then Shabbos becomes a prat. When in essence Shabbos, because of its inherent nature as an act of Haggadah's Eidus, it cannot be part of klal Torah kula. Because if that be the case, then it would make no difference whether the Shabbos was desecrated publicly Befarhesia or privately Bitsina. And this really touches to some extent on our point above, that the Pachad Yitzchak in explaining Mumris of Shabbos is adding A plus B. There are two elements, as we said before. There's the Eidus Sheker of Chil Shabbos that's inherent in the Maisa of, instead of Shvi'is Shabbos, he violates the Shabbos. That's Eidus Sheker, that's a Kfir of Maisa Breishis. And There is an upgrade, so to speak, of that Eidus Sheker when it contradicts the Eidah. And that's the Farhesia, because the Eidah itself is a testimony on the Bris. So on the one hand, the Bris is reflected in the Kiyum of Shabbos, in Shvisa Shabbos, because it indicates our singular status, the Amanivchar status, which upgrades our Shvisa Shabbos to the level of Eidus. On the other hand, the Farhesia element of Asarim Yisrael V'tzibur is an Eidus on the Bris relationship. By violating the Shabbos and testimonying an Eidus Sheker, he's denying the Bris, and by doing so in public, the Bris itself, in the Eidus itself, or the Eidah, is contradicting his Eidus. We now engender a Hakasha. He's making something bad worse. Bad enough that the desecration of the Shabbos is itself Eidus Sheker, but not only that, he's using that Eidus Sheker to contradict the Eidus Emes of Eidah, of the presence of Asar Yisrael Tzibur. However, as far as Shabbos itself is concerned, being a Klola Doraisa, that is engendered by the nature of Shabbos as Eidus, as an act, the Shvisa Shabbos is an act of Eidus on Maisa Breishis in the context, the framework of a Bris relationship. That's inherent in Shabbos, even Bitzina. Again, even though the Chil Shabbos Bitzina is not upgraded to a Hakasha, in which you are taking another edus on the bris and you are contradicting and undermining it. Okay, so that element is lacking. But inherent in Shabbos itself is the klolius d'oraisa element of Shabbos as an edus on the bris. The difference between farhesia and sinna, says the Pachid Yisro, could not in any way impact on this status of Shabbos as klolius haTorah. If Shabbos were not klolius haTorah b'tzina, it wouldn't become klolius haTorah b'farhesia. Farhesia just adds another dimension to the chashas edus emes of Eda. But as far as the hagodas sheker inherent in chol Shabbos, it doesn't matter one iota whether it's b'tzina or b'farhesia. That element of chol Shabbos as hagodas sheker exists even b'tzina. And as a result of the Haggadah's Eidus B'Sheker of Chil Shabbos, that's inherent to Chil Shabbos anywhere, whether it's Farsi and Sinah, that upgrades Shabbos into the level of Klolius D'Oraisa, and we automatically now apply and activate the logic of Rebbe Kivega that the Chutz has to include Shabbos, because Shabbos cannot be Klolius HaTorah and at the same time be included in Mumis L'Kol HaTorah Kula as a Prat. It can't be both a Prat and a Klal simultaneously, and therefore the conclusion of all this is that Chil Shabbos, even Bitsina, is in and of itself Klolius D'Oraisa. So therefore, if Kivega's Kasha falls off, he wants to object to Rabbeinu Yerucham and say that, wait a minute, maybe Kol HaTorah Kula includes Shabbos, but Shabbos Bitsina. No, because Shabbos Bitsina itself is Klolius HaTorah, and therefore Shabbos must be included in the Chutz. And this is the introduction to Maimer Dalet, to be Mavar the Halacha, clarifying the Halacha of, as we said in the name of the Bali Kabbalah, Shabbos Sahadusa Ikri, Shabbos itself is Edus. And from this point and on in the Pachad Yitzchak, he presents his thesis on a philosophical level, in which he is going to address the lashon of Chazal in Anshei Knesset HaGdol in the Tefilos of Shabbos, Tiferes Otel Yom HaMnucha Oneg Karol Yom HaShabbos, and address the relationship between Oneg Shabbos and Tiferes, the concept of Tiferes Ota, and that is going to be the subject of Maimer Dalet from this point and on, and it's all going to be based on this clarification, this analysis of Shabbos as Sadusa, as Eidus. So Yirtzeh Hashem Bli Neder, in the second part of this analysis of Maimer Dalet, we'll see how the introduction plays a very important role on the Guf HaMaimer, the Maimer itself, in Yirtzeh Hashem.